All right, in the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks for today. Yeah, we know, Lord, that you have prepared something good for us, and we will receive of that. That which you have prepared today, Lord, is entering our hearts now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding has been enlightened. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
You are causing the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. You are giving us direction. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Can we declare that word therefore? Want to let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. Word is entering my heart, is giving me light and direction, is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
If understand this, your portion today, give me another amen.
Amen.
Can I greet somebody on your left and your right as you sit down? Tell the person you are wise, you are blessed. Tell somebody you are blessed, you are blessed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe, you give me an amen.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 3, we are going to start from there again today. We know we have been looking at the letter, the words of the Lord Jesus to the church. We are deriving what we need to know today from the things that he said to the churches that time. One key phrase that we have been seeing again and again is that he said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Please let me emphasize that again. What that means, even though you are not in the church in Sardis, there are things to pick from there for your own life. Even though you are not currently in the church in Smyrna, there are things to pick from there for your own life. Even though you are not the church in Philadelphia, Ephesus, Laodicea, all of those things. In each of the letters, there is something to pick for your life. Last time I explained that what we are doing regularly as believers is to ensure that our lives conform with the written word of God. The spiritual man is not the person, or the spiritual woman is not that fellow that knows how to hear the voice of the Spirit. He is not the person that prays until he starts hearing things. The spiritual person is the fellow whose life is based upon the revealed word of God. That is, the fellow will not do anything that contradicts what God has written. And when he or she is praying, is to check whether the life is conformed with what God has revealed. The example I give then, and it's always a good example. Before I married, what did God say to me? That's not what the question. The question is that when I needed to make a choice concerning a marriage partner, what were the things I was thinking about? It's not, I prayed unto God, let me just say it again. Many times, God doesn't need to talk because if we obey the things he has said, we will arrive at the decision anyway. That's all. So many times I say he should talk. He doesn't want to. He says it's an unnecessary thing. I don't need to say anything to you more than what I have said to everybody. And we read from Psalm 119. He said he has given us his commandments that we might do what? Diligently apply his precepts to our lives. If we are diligent in the application of the precepts, we will discover his will without trying hard. Are you getting my point? If we are diligent in applying his precepts to our lives, we will discover his will without trying very hard. So that's what the spiritual person is. We've been seeing that again and again. So as believers, we are looking at these letters to ensure that whatever Jesus pointed out in there, we are corrected concerning them. That's our primary assignment. If Jesus says this is good, we hold on to it. If Jesus says this is bad, we make sure we pray those things out of our lives. We walk with the word of God on our lives. See those things vanish from our lives. That's what spirituality is. And I want to emphasize to us again, these seven churches, what I think is that virtually every problem somebody may have is recorded inside them. Virtually every victory somebody will have is recorded inside them. That's why we need to look at them carefully. We apply them diligently. We go through them one by one, step by step, line by line. Looking at, don't say I'm not in church in Sardis. People have had arguments on, did this refer to specific churches or church ages. Of course, there were specific churches at that time. And of course, we can also apply them to different church ages. But what is most important is that the messages actually were to individuals to hearken, even though they were written to churches. You know, the way it's, when it's, that's what he meant when he said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to who? To who? No, not the church. To who? What did he say? The churches, that's it. He knows each individual can only be in one church. But he said, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The churches, all the churches, not just the one he's in. So, a person in the church in Laodicea those days will take the letter to the church in Sardis and read it and judge himself and judge herself. The person in Sardis will take notes concerning the things that the Lord said to the church in Laodicea. So all of us, therefore, it is irrelevant whether it was written to us or not. We have been instructed to take heed to the things that the Spirit is saying to the churches, all the churches. We must bear those things in mind. Now let's continue reading. Oh, before we continue reading, let me just say this again. Remember, there are different levels of judgment. The first and gentlest level is self-judgment. If we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, that is, the first level is to be chastened by the Lord. That is the next level. That's not level two now. And the third, which is the bad level, is to now be judged with the world. And we don't want that. So if we want to avoid these things, we take our lives and judge our lives regularly. You take your life, look at your finances, judge your life with the word of God. What's your goal in life? Judge it with the word of God. What's your vision in life? Judge it with the word of God. How do you relate with people? Judge it with the word of God. That way you will never enter into trouble. Are you getting my point? Yes. Many things that God will have wanted to teach you. Listen, you can pass through, you can miss many troubles in life just by paying attention to instructions. Don't wait to learn from your own mistakes. Learn from what God is saying to other people. I hope you're getting my point here.
Yes,
don't wait to learn from your own mistakes. I've learned many things over the years from things I've done that I didn't do properly and had to make corrections. But in ministry, most of the things I've learned are from books, stories told by other people. When Robert Lyadon compiled the book, God's Generals, we read those things inside there. Kenneth Hagin will teach to ministers. We pay attention to those things. Very important we understand those points. That's how life is supposed to be lived as a child of God. If you want your life to have as little trouble as possible, then you must be one that is an ardent learner. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Please, just by the way again, read Ken Hagin's stories. He gave gifts unto men. Read the stories. Plans, purposes, and pursuits. Read the stories. Read the things that these men... I like biographies of ministers. John Alexander Dowie, I read the story of his life. There are things he did I told myself I must not do. He had to do them for many reasons. Partly because he didn't have people... In fact, when Gordon Lindsay was trying to explain people should be kind to him in judging him. He said, bear in mind that this man had nobody really to look up to. He brought the truth of divine healing, having learned it from nobody. He learned divine healing and began to minister divine health. He didn't know anybody before that was doing it. And he was used, now listen to this, he was used to being opposed. So if you came to correct him, it was nothing new. You may say, this man does not listen to correction. If he listened to correction, he wouldn't have gotten to where you met him, daddy, to be correcting him. I don't know whether you get my point. Because they told him, God doesn't heal today. As a regular clergyman, he did not listen to that correction. I don't know whether you get my point. God Lisa was explaining that. So understand why he was obstinate. Understand why he was difficult to correct. Because early in life, that was the only way he got by. Everybody told him, do it this way. He said, no, that's not what the word of God says. He does it another way. And it turns out to be right. And because of that, that is nature. It became somebody that you and I are talking about today. Now, why do you think he will just change his mind now because you disagree with him? People have been disagreeing with him for a long time. He was used to, if I had a backpack, they would arrest him many times. He can go out to go and preach. He returns to prison instead of returning home. Please, I hope you are getting my point here. So that's why he became like that. God only was explaining. But he still made his mistakes. I'm not saying that he was right. I believe that God allowed him to make some of those mistakes. Knowing that without us, he would not be made perfect. That's what the Bible says. So he did what he could do. God took him away at a particular point in time. It was quite early when he left. He was just about 60 years of age when the Lord took him away. People were devastated. But the story was written down. I have a few of his materials. I have that complete, well-researched volume of his life by Gordon Lindsay, titled John Alexander Dowie. Robert Sliadon wrote his own. I have a compilation of his sermons, Champions of the Faith. You know, those things are out there. Then you read all of those things and you tell yourself, where this man got to, we must go beyond that level. Are you getting my point? You know, Albert Einstein was a very, very intelligent and, you know, successful physicist. But without Isaac Newton and his contemporaries, there would have been no Albert Einstein. Are you getting my point? He came to step on the shoulders of those who came before him. So even though I may not do something that Dowie did, it's not because I'm better than Dowie, but because I saw the story of Dowie to read. There was no Dowie before Dowie, so Dowie could not read Dowie. So John Dowie made the mistakes because nobody made those mistakes before him. This man came after him. What is his name? John G. Lake. He came after Dowie with the same kind of power that Dowie used. He went beyond the level of Dowie. Then again, he died shortly, a few years after Dowie died. That is age-wise now, all right? Age-wise. He was about 65. Now, why did John G. Lake die in his own time? That is my own estimation of it. Those men drove themselves hard. 30 straight years, men will hardly sleep. Ministering morning, afternoon, and night. And I'm talking about ministering in, you know, air-conditioned halls. Being moved from one meeting place to another, you know, in an air-conditioned car. Flying from one venue to another. No. It's going on horseback from one village to another. Traveling weeks and months on ships to come from cross from one country to another. That's how they ministered. And this man ministered like that until he testified he wore out. With the kind of power of God manifesting in his life, he almost went blind. Are you getting my point? A man that somebody came to him, pray for me. Because I'm sick. Arthritis. Crippled the man. He said, but let me warn you, I don't have any faith. And he laughed. He said, I have enough for two. That was G. Lake. G. Lake likes to do experiments. He will hear where occultists are gathered to show they have power. Say, if you have power, come and enroll. He will take a form and join too. You have spiritual power, meet your have spiritual power. Literally, they brought sick people. Five. He went, I think somewhere in France, they brought reverend fathers, all right, who could, you know, had their own way of praying for healing. They brought occultists who had their ways of praying for healing. They had other people who had their, G. Lake went there. He said, write my name, me too, I have something to say. They brought the five people. No faith at all. This was a demonstration, just a demonstration, not a church meeting. He said, let me show you that my God is alive. He prayed for the five people. Three got well on the spot. One recovered days later. Only one died. These were people who were terminally ill. They didn't bring people who had headache. Who their nose had been running for 2 days. They don't know what's wrong. They brought people that had no hope of living. And three got well on the spot. That was G. Lake. Yet, he got to a point in time, he too became very infirm. I don't need to tell you that Dowie died in a wheelchair. I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, these people, now, I want to understand something here. They lived, they burnt out. They were not people who were sitting down playing. They wore themselves until they finished. When G. Lake was going to talk about Dowie, he would refer to him before too much work turned his head. Because Dowie was saying things that G. Lake could not repeat. These things they are blasphemous. So he said, please forgive him, it's too much work. Read this man's stories. You know. as an infirm man sitting at home one day, a man came and dashed him $50, the money that he needed critically for himself. This man, with everything he had done, was flat broke. So he turned to the guy and said, "My God, we supply all your needs." That money needed it to pay mortgage on his house. That following week, that guy's uncle called him and paid the whole thing up for him. Did not know the prayer that we paid for him. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say here. Yes, Listen to me. John G. Lake will tell you himself, it was too much work that almost wore him out. They died the time that people didn't expect them to die. They became ill, could not heal themselves. Are you getting my point here? So we learned from them. We're not better than them. But they left something for us to build upon. That's the point I'm making. They left something for us to build upon. When Jilek almost went blind, they were saying, he had to go and pray. The Lord now restored his sight. Please, follow me. Everything that they went through, I don't have time to be analyzing these men's lives now. They've been analyzed for us. I've learned my lessons from them. I've learned my lessons. There are more to learn. I keep on reading, going back to those things. One of the things I learned from Jilek, there are many things I learned from someone like Jilek. I've realized that, in fact, a man who took over from him, what is his name? Corey Blake. Corey Blake said he does not believe in sleeping. His phone number is on his website. Anybody can call him from anywhere around the world. He picks the phone at any point in time. I said, bros, you're on your own. I have realized, hey, Oga, Corey Blake, this was what killed the Oga. I mean, there's no point. Even Jesus used to sleep. You don't know that? And he was not planning to live long. The plan from the beginning is that I will not live long. And he used to sleep. When he sent the disciples out, those men were so excited. I saw the excitement of the disciples in these men also. And you may have had such excitement in your life. His men were so excited when they came back. They said, where is the next place to go? Why? Believe me, when you see demons jump out, you want more demons to come. When you see the lame walk, the blind see, the dead raised, you won't want to sleep, trust me. Why will you sleep? You start saying things like, souls are perishing, why should I be sleeping? People are falling sick, why should I be sleeping? Now, with all that excitement in their souls, Jesus looked at them, you know what he said? Come aside and rest for a while. Carnegie taught us later. He said, always make sure you rest. And he had the rule, he's late now, but at least he was almost 90 when he died. He was 88. He had the rule. So in between services, he lies down. 8 o'clock service, 12 o'clock service, 4 o'clock service. No problem, he will do all of them. Once 8 o'clock service is over, he has gone to his hotel room to go and lie down. He won't pray for you when he's tired. Can he have his rule? If he's tired, he's not talking to you. When he ministers for some time, he'll carry chair, give him, he will sit down. If he looks at the list of people to pray for, they are so long, he sits. I'm not standing. You're getting my point? There's a collection of his messages we listen to, talking to preachers. And he told preachers, you can't just be driving yourself on like that as if you're not made of flesh. So some preachers prayed. The one that I said, some pastors, they carry everybody's trouble on their head. So they did not become old. So you see a 40-year-old pastor, his body functions like that, somebody who's 85. Why? Because he has donated his life to all the church members. All the church members, Naomi Wahala, was going to kill Moses, you know that? Until God sent Jethro to him. We learned all of those things. So one Corey Blake came and said that he doesn't sleep. I said, that's your problem. I sleep. I do. December, that's why you invite me to come and preach in December. I won't answer you. He said, people are going to hell. You are going to rest. More will go to hell if I don't rest. So I know what I'm telling you. It's not because we are wise. It's because we have seen other people that went ahead of us. Are you getting my point? I'm not going to break down first before I realize I need to take a rest. They had to ship G. Lake away from Spokane, Washington, to Houston to go and rest for I forgot how many years. After 30 grueling years, eventually the land had to enjoy its Sabbath. That's what the Bible says. Until the land enjoyed its Sabbath, his flesh had to enjoy rest. That's what I'm talking about. So we learn those things. In everything you do, learn. You reduce the amount of affliction you have to pass through. Listen out for correction. Don't learn only from your own mistakes. Learn from the mistakes of those who have gone ahead of you. The more you read, the less you suffer. Are you getting my point? The more you read, the less you suffer. When I'm talking about reading now, reading other people's experiences, those who have worked with God, I don't mean you go and read Bill Gates and what is his name? Apple. Warren Buffett, Jack Welch, Steve Jobs. That's not what I mean. I mean David in the Bible. I mean Solomon. That's what I'm talking about. I mean Kenneth Hagin, David Oyedepo, Algie Lutono, Larry Bucket. People that have the testimony of Jesus. That's the people I'm talking about. I don't mean you go and read them. You know, this is where we Christian bookshops used to be Christian bookshops. They now become Christian bookstroke business shop. So we mix the two. Motivational speaking, self-empowerment, life coaching. No, be so. I'm not talking about that. Because many people that you see that succeeded in life, the Bible says that they themselves, they don't know how. They don't know how it happens. So I'm talking about reading spiritually inspired writings. Things that will help you become what the Lord Jesus wants you to be. Not what the world wants you to be. Don't let anybody deceive you. They don't know the principles of business success. Recently I saw another article that says, don't try to, how did the man head it now? So, anyway, the man will say that if you want to succeed, don't do like Bill Gates. That's the title. That's the title of, and this is not, I saw that article on BBC, bbc.com. So it's not like it's a church article. So if you want to succeed in life, don't do like Bill Gates. Now, we were trying to explain a point that Bill Gates dropped out of school is not the normal way to succeed. That there are many things that help Bill Gates, which is not in your life. So don't try and be like Bill Gates. He didn't write from a spiritual perspective, but I like some. I just picked up that thing. It's going to be in our magazine. We just caught a bit of it for people to realize that carrying the book by Bill Gates and trying to follow him, you're just wasting your time. Success is always what? A gift of God. The people that have it, many times they don't know how. There are people that God is doing something for. They don't know why he's doing it for them. They will tell you what they think, but they don't know the real reason why. The law of life is, when did we see you and we helped you? That's the law of life. When Jesus said, come into the joy of the Lord. Why? Because I was hungry, you fed me. They were surprised. Ah, have we met before? When did we feed you? When did we see you hungry? That was the question. The question was not, yes, that day I remember, I saw you somewhere. So how come you are just paying us now? No. They were surprised. That is, if you see many people who are succeeding in life, it is not what they are claiming is the source of the success. That is the source of the success. It's something else. They don't know. That is why the word of God remains the fact. Look, stay there. Learn it. Follow it. Obey it. No guarantees of success because you're obeying it. In quote. Now, please get my point. You will succeed in obeying God. I don't know what the hell I said. You will succeed in obeying God. You will succeed in what he's doing right. By the commandment of God, that should satisfy you. The fact that you have obeyed him and you have done what is right. As per, will my company be worth $100 million? It's not guaranteed from that. That is not a request we make. We now go to him and say, Lord, oh, that you will bless me indeed. Lord, you will expand my coast, please. Make my name great. Keep me from trouble. Don't let it come to me. Say that sincerely. Asking God, I just say, why are you asking? Where else will I go? You are my father. Who else will I ask for? Ask from? That's it. Then he blesses you. But if you as a child of God ever think you have learned all the principles and all the keys, you have the right key. Only to discover that the door jammed long ago. The key is correct, but the door don't jam. So we don't hang on those keys. We just keep on learning what is right because those things are right. So we let, no, if, oh, Lord help me to speak this thing. A major problem in today's Christianity is that people make an idol of success. They buy Bill Gates' book looking for the keys to become a man worth $50 billion. $60 billion. They back Mark Zuckerberg's story looking for the key to be a billionaire before they are 30. Are you getting my point? They read story. Let's even come to the Bible. They read David's story, looking for the key to becoming a king and knocking off that wicked boss of yours. As they are reading the key in the story, they now say, you will not kill Saul. So if you want to increase in life, don't kill Saul. Oh. They hate Saul and they want to kill Saul. They have no respect for Saul's anointing. But it's just that we are plotting to hit the throne at the age of 30. So we are going to leave Saul alone. That is, they are not reading the stories for the sake of righteousness. It's about what do we get from it? What are the principles of having a church that has the largest number? 1 million man church. We go to South Korea. And you got to use the principles of pastoring Korean people to pastor Biafran people. I don't know how you expect it to work. Of course it's not going to work. In case you did not notice, Koreans are not black. They don't live in Africa. It's not, look, so that's, we make an, listen, and that is what the Jezebel spirit is. When we make an idol of success. I was talking to one man, I don't know how I'm going to handle this, but let me just say it first. You know, I was not around on Tuesday. I went to preach. So one of the other ministers there, I mentioned, I said, sir, do you know Susan and so preacher? He said, yes, I do. Told me a few things. I said, but the fellow preaches some funny doctrines. I needed to know. All right? I said, this fellow preaches some odd things. You know what he said? Don't mind him. He said it's not correct. We scattered with laughter there. Now, that's not the gist. The gist is that, he said, oh, I know. He said, but if you had known this fellow before, you would have known somebody who loved the Lord. Who moved people when, you know, under the anointing. When it's time to minister. He said, but some people now came and introduced him to money. He said, money is the problem. Say, once some people brought in money, we have to make money, we have to succeed. My wife was there. I said, baby, I told you. When you see, you know, there's what the Bible calls the madness of the prophet. When prophet begin craze, there are no two reasons. Well, okay. One major reason is money. It is when money has been placed in front of them, they can't see straight again. They start hearing God from every angle. Thus says the Lord, it shall come to pass that the Lord shall say thus. They say, no, he didn't say that one. He said, how much did you say you needed? The Lord said, this time next week, anybody who will spill a special seed. The Lord, when I was coming, the Lord said there will be 5 people here who are giving 1 million. And those people, he is going to build a house of 17 stories for each one of them within 17 months. And those 17 people, they are here. How many? Is that 5? Okay, yes. No, they are 17. No. And as you are bringing the money, I will wash your hand with oil. One throw the oil for ground. You will stand on it as I begin to pray. We don't even know which one is the diversity of manifestations. The one, because there are true manifestations that may look like that. We don't know the one that's now diversity of madness. But when you see prophets begin go mental, it's always because somebody has placed something else in front of them apart from the Lord Jesus. The Lord is good. So that's what we do. Making sure that we conform ourselves. And that's what we've been reading. All right, let's just go back to reading now. Last time I looked at this issue of the angel, the church in Sardis. So to the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars says this, I know your deeds and that you have a name that you are alive, but actually you are dead. In verse 2 it says, wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which are about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But I have, he said, but you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 6 is always very important to read. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now this is very important. We read this last time. Let me just review a few things about it and continue to develop some things. We read the whole of chapter 3. But last time we were stuck in the letter to the church in Sardis. We were stuck with this one, that is this first portion to the church in Sardis. Now please let me just say one thing I said before. Then I will bring out a few things here. The summary of what the Lord was saying about to the church in Sardis at the beginning is that their focus was on external things, not on internal things. Their focus was on their reputation. Their focus was on their church number. Hey, you. Their focus was on the amount of tithes and offerings for promotion. You say, why am I pointing at him? He has suffered all these things. So I know why I'm pointing at him. The focus was, listen, because I know some of our churches, you get promoted based on the amount of tithes and offerings you collected in your branch. Am I lying? Say it loud so that you know I'm not lying now. That was the problem with the church in Sardis. Too much emphasis on outward things. Their focus was on external things. As long as the outward things were okay, they felt everything was all right. And we talked about that extensively. And I said, look, make it a habit to look at the things that are inside. Last time I used business as an example. Make sure you know the condition of your flock. Because a business can be thriving apparently outside, but in reality, if you do your accounting properly, you realize it is dying. If you're a minister, bear that in mind also. You don't check the number of your congregation to decide whether you are succeeding or you are not succeeding. There are other parameters. When Jesus, you must understand, when Jesus taught the hardest, the toughest doctrine that he needed to teach, the church whittled down, you know, everybody disappeared. It remained only Peter and his colleagues. The watrier your message, now I don't mean this to insult anybody, it's a matter of fact. The larger the congregation. I've observed this over time. When churches become very, very, very large, if you are there to hear the deep word of God, it starts becoming more difficult to find it. Unless the pastor is careful to, and that's what Jesus used to do. When the congregation will be large, he will tell stories, excite everybody. The sower went forth to sow. Some of them fell by the wayside. 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 And the birds of the air came and ate them up. Birds, birds, birds. And Peter was looking at Jesus. He could not believe his eyes. When he finished all of that, the disciples now came up to him and said, why are you talking to them? There was disciples and there was a multitude, the them. Why were you talking to them like that? He said, they didn't come to hear anything serious. That's what he said. They came for miracles, free food, and crowd effect, which is why churches are full every Sunday. He said, Isaiah said, Jesus was speaking, he said, Isaiah said, they will hear, they will not understand. They will see, they will not perceive. He said, in them, that scripture is fulfilled. He said, but unto you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. It wasn't the multitude. So you have to be careful when you are judging how successful your church is. Well, the fastest growing church has no meaning. In fact, it's a satanic inclination to be counting the rate at which your number is growing as to put yourself on a particular level in life. You don't do that. Where our building is the finest has no meaning. These are the sadic, it's not church sadis. These are the sadic principles of life. A reputation that you are alive. You're always doing programs. You're always up to something. Go and read the story I told last time about the Aaron in America. They had a reputation that they were alive, but actually they were dead. Reputation must not matter to you. What is important is reality. Okay? We talked about that extensively last time. Now, I want to continue again and bring out a few issues. One thing I want to bring out, I was studying this, and I realized that there was something that the Lord was doing all of it. And please, try and follow me closely here, because this is kind of frightening. Every time you see a promise, you know, David kept on saying something. Revive me according to your word. Now, that tells me something, and those are prophetic psalms, that some of those revivals according to the word don't just come automatically. You're getting my point? That was why it had to become a prayer point. They didn't just come automatically. The promises of God, it looks like they have to be act. Not it looks like, they have to be activated. So when Jesus will say something, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it for you. Now please, I'm not trying to take away faith from you. That's a promise. Now, even before I go into that's a promise, I want to understand something here. And you must always get the context when the Lord Jesus will speak or when the Bible talks. You've heard this one before. This is my example there. Say, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and does not doubt. We sometimes say it is whoever, anybody ever. I say, but you forget one thing. When you were in secondary school, they told you, give the context of the following. Did you ever read Bible knowledge? Christian religious knowledge? If you did Bible knowledge, put up your hand. Say amen.
Amen.
No, no, please put down your hand. You didn't get my question. If you did Bible knowledge, BK, in secondary school, put up your hand. What is human beings? Please answer my question. If you did Bible knowledge, called BK, in secondary school, please put up your hand. If you did BK, if you did not do BK, whether it is Jesus religious knowledge, once it is not BK, don't put up your hand. I want to go over it again. If you were in school, you went to do WASC, or you were in secondary school, and one of the subjects you did was PETH, B-I-B-L-E, knowledge. Bible knowledge. Please put up your hand. Okay. Now, please keep that hand up. Amongst those whose hands are up, if you think I'm talking about CRK, please put up your hand, put down your hand. Good, thank you. That's more like it. Thank you very much, sir. I wanted to separate the men from the boys. Now, if you did CRK, put up your hand. All the hands will go up. Okay, don't mind all these people. We are talking about those who did BK. They are talking about this. All these watered down things. Christian religious knowledge. Rubbish. We did what? Bible knowledge. Thank you. They were correcting me. Is CRK? Yes, now when you went there, it was CRK. When we were doing it. In case you don't, that was 1979. Show some respect. 1980, 81, 82. No, 82 has stopped. But by that time, we had gotten to the senior classes. We now stop with our sciences. I know when I'm going, and some people will bring out two hands to greet me. Thank you. I appreciate it. Now, those are the days of Bible knowledge and CRK. They will tell you, give the context of the following, and then answer the questions that follow. Thou shalt not touch the Lord's anointed. Sometimes they now say, who said it? To whom? On what occasion? Well, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he said will come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Who said it? To whom? And on what occasion? You must always bet. Look, it's important. Without those things, you don't understand what you're reading. You must understand how it is said. When Jesus said those things, he was talking to the disciples. These were statements he never made to Pharisees. He didn't tell to the Pharisee, if you shall see to this mountain, Pharisee, say what to who? He was teaching Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and the other people that followed him closely, that guys, if you, not the Pharisee, not the Sadducee, if you shall say to this mountain, the other people couldn't just say anything they liked. Because he understood that without faith in the heart, being stirred up by a walk with God, you can't say anything. And it will come to pass. That's why the Bible says, who is it that says a thing and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Which means disciples walk so closely with the Lord, by the time they are speaking, they are only speaking what the Lord has commanded. And somebody on the earth is echoing. Many times they don't even realize the Lord overtly commanded. It's just that they have so walked with him, the passion of God is not their passion. What fills the heart of God fills their heart. So it erupts in words. And it's exactly what God has said in heaven. Careful when you are, you know, using the promises. That's what I said last time. That don't apply divine precepts to unbelievers. That's Christian precepts. Precepts of Christ. There are laws, principles God has given us is for believers because it requires grace to activate those things. It requires grace. Now, there's what I'm saying all of these things. I read the Bible and I found that there are a lot of things we take for granted. But once you read the other portions, you now see that no, it's not always like that. There are qualifications before some things become real totally in your life. Now, look at this portion now. You know what he said here? He was talking about people overcoming. And when you go through this, you see again and again, the Lord will come with the story of whoever overcomes. The person who overcomes. Here he says, wake up. Now, let me just jump down to an area, all right? But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. And they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. That is, to walk with Jesus in white, your garment must be clean. What soils the garment? Very important question. Garments are soiled by relationship with the world. Now, when he says that they will walk with me, it shows that it's not just the fact that they call themselves Christians that they can walk with him. I don't know whether I get my point. I was listening to a man of God this morning, early in the morning, I was listening to a message. And he was addressing this issue of once saved, always saved. He made a statement. He just quoted something that, what kind of grace are you talking about? That a young woman lived a licentious life and all of that and then died one day. And somebody was saying that he said that she's saved. He said, why? He said, because at the age of 9, she answered an altar call and gave her life to Christ. I never lived as a Christian since the time she was a teenager until she died in her 20s. No. He said, but she's saved. Why? Because she was once saved. The man said, that is total rubbish. And I believe it totally. That's total what? Rubbish. Don't believe it is a lie. Now, the fact that somebody just called himself or herself a Christian is not what makes the person a Christian. The fact that somebody said, I gave my life to Christ 15 years ago is not what makes the fellow a Christian. It's not everybody that says he's a Christian that can walk with the Lord Jesus, as you can see here. He said himself, he said, this person will do what? Will walk with me wearing white. Which verse is that? Verse 4. You have a few people inside this who have not soiled their garments. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now the question is this. Now, because of time, I'm going to be a bit quick, and we have discussed some of these things before. What does it mean to walk with the Lord in white? I'll come back to it, but let me just read the other portion. He now said, verse 5, he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And that's one thing I want you to understand here. What does it mean to be clothed in white? As we said, it implies that the person has spiritual authority. How do I know? Because you read further down in, that book of Revelations, there's something you will find. It was talking about the elders. That's in, chapter 4. All right, let me see whether it's there, if I got it right. Yes, chapter 4, verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones, And upon the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting. What's the next line? Let me hear you. Clothed in white garments. They were seated on thrones, elders, clothed in what? White garments. Now, you see another thing. Let me just continue explaining. He also said something here. And what will I do for these people? Verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. And I will confess his name. Whoever overcomes will be clothed in white garments. And I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his holy angels. Now, I thought about this one very seriously. Please, I want you to understand this here. You know, when I got to Asaba on Monday, what I preached that morning was simple. That we are, I've preached here many times, that it's time for serious Christianity. I said it is time for what? Serious Christianity. Serious Christianity. People taking the Lord very seriously. People realizing that, listen, Jesus prefers no church to a lukewarm church. We'll get to that later. The idea of many churches, even though they are not good, is better than no church at all. Jesus doesn't think so. You are the one that thinks so. We are the one that thinks so. He never thought so. His own is that it's either you are hot or you're not there at all, cold. But this halfway thing, it irritates me. Now, this is what I mean by serious Christianity. Now, you see here what Jesus is saying here, that some people, all right, keep their garments clean. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, their garments, how your own portion of it, he said, a white garment is a sign of what? The righteous act of the saints. The outward righteousness is what they call white garments. This doctrine of righteousness is only of the heart. God doesn't understand it. Paul did not preach it. What they preached, what Paul preached, what Jesus is teaching us is that righteousness starts from the heart. But there's what the Bible calls perfection of things. For example, you say, we're talking about the former prophets, them without us will not be made perfect. That is, everything they prophesied is nothing except it comes to pass in our lives. What the Bible calls perfection does not mean everything is totally correct, nothing is wrong. What it means is that that which is deep inside, it comes out in reality. That righteousness that is inside must be perfected outside. The righteousness that begins in the heart and stays in the heart is not of God. I don't know whether you're getting the point there. No, open to it. Let's read it. Revelation chapter 19. Oh, very important we get this point. Let me just read this quickly. From verse 7, it says, let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints. Are you noticing that? That is, the clothes on our body, all right, is the righteous act that we do. That's why John will say, John the Baptist, he will tell you to bear fruit in keeping with what? Righteousness. In keeping with repentance, thank you. There must be outward fruit to show that righteousness is in the heart. The doctrine that says righteousness in the heart and that's all that matters is a lie. It's not the doctrine of grace. We'll talk about grace after when we finish with this. Grace does not mean I do what I like. Grace means I have the power to do what is right. Are you getting my point here? That's what grace means. Grace does not mean anything I do is right. After I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No, grace means no matter the temptations around, I have the power to do right. Let me give you a few examples of grace in the Bible. Don't pray for 30 days to any other God apart from the king. Daniel went and prayed. He couldn't stop himself from praying. I say jokingly like this, that when they say nobody should pray, Daniel went to pray about it. I don't know where I get my point. They say, Lord, oh, I just came to tell you that they say nobody should pray. They say, you are praying. No, I'm just reporting what happened to the Lord. That is righteous. Praying was such much a part of him that a man had started disobeying the law of the king while obeying the law of God that was inside his heart. That's grace. What is grace? Azariah, Mishael, and Ananiah. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, bow down to this, otherwise we'll burn you. He said, we can't bow down. Why? We have a God that says, his commandment is you must have no other God, you must bow to no other God. What else are we going to do? They said, we will burn you. They lit the fire. See, they tested the fire. They thought the fire was real. The king said, no, you guys are my trusted ministers. You wouldn't do that. Let me give another opportunity. When you hear the sound go off, please bow down. Otherwise, I'm going to burn you. They say, king, no need for negotiation. But I'm going to burn you. You say, our God is able to deliver us. He said, but let me just tell you, that's not why we're not bowing. No. It's not because we're counting of his deliverance. We just know it is wrong to bow. Nebuchadnezzar said, what? I can't believe this. In this land, smoke them. Why did they not bow? Many reasons. Most important reason, shall I tell you? They could not bow. You can give 10,000 reasons why they didn't bow. The most important reason was that their backs wouldn't bend. Mr. King, we would have loved to bow, but we just can't bow. Why? The owner of the back is holding it. You know what somebody, David Post said something. I read it this morning. David Post said, the cure for the fear of man is the fear of God. I don't know whether I get the point.
Yes.
He said, if you want to cure the fear of man, just fear God. He said, the cure for all the little fears is the big fear. That if you fear that, if I obey God, say you want to burn my skin, he will burn my soul. This one, you put me in the fire, that kind of intensity of fire, shall I assure you of something? You won't feel the pain. Listen, before the pain hits your brain, you have died. When they put you in Nebuchadnezzar's fire, before the pain of the fire hits your brain, you are dead. So for less than a second, we suffer your own pain. But if he smokes us, when God wants to burn people, he burns people with unquenchable fire. Where even the worm does not die. Are you getting my point? How will a human being die there? That's the thing. He burns people persistently. He burns people permanently. People say, is hellfire real? Let me just tell you something. Now, Apostle, I'm digressing, but let's talk a bit. I'm just talking about the fear of God. Is hellfire real? I'll put it like this. Is there fire in hell? Like you have in your stove? No. He said, why did you say no? Because there's no oxygen there. There's no carbon there. Oxygen and carbon, they belong to this realm, this dispensation. Just like there's no gold in heaven too. See, but the Bible says streets of gold. That's the only thing you know of value. So when the Bible wants to tell you what is valuable, he has to use gold. When the Bible wants to tell human beings something that is not perishable, he has to use gold. But the reality is that thing that is used there is definitely more precious than gold. It's more enduring than gold. Because this gold, the Bible says what? It perishes. That's the word of God. So what is in hell? I will tell you. What is there is torment that can only be compared with being burned by fire on the earth. I don't know whether you get my point here. It is torment that can only be compared with being burnt with fire on the earth. So isn't there no fire? If it's spiritual fire, it is there. If it's physical fire, it cannot be there. Have you read this joke before? One man ago even wrote a book on it. There's some people drilled into hell. They were drilling. They were drilling. Some geologists or some oil people. They were drilling and they now drilled into hell. And they heard people screaming. Have you heard that story before?
Yes.
You believed it before? Some of you believed it. I couldn't believe it. It didn't make sense. How can you drill into a place that's not physical? And by the time we read about it later, of course, I did my search on it. It was a joke that Christians carried too far. It was not a Christian that started it too. The deepest depth that men have dug on this earth has barely scratched the surface of the earth. Oh, yes. That is the depth that men have dug to. That one, they said they put a microphone there. And the microphone, they were hearing people crying. I said, how foolish can adults be? The microphone did not melt. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It's not fire, you called it. Put fire in your stove, put microphone in your stove and hear the gas hiss. You know, people just say things, sometimes just wonder that. Steve. He said, this man, what did you smoke? No, of course, it's not like that. The truth is, let me just get back to what I'm saying. The fact is this, all right? That is torment. The only thing it can be compared with is being burnt with fire on the earth. And that's why the Bible uses the expression for it, the Gehenna of fire. Now, please, let me continue what I'm saying. Now, Apostle, how did I get there? I was talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How they were not afraid of the king. Because they knew that, of course, like I said, they could not bow. But and I quoted a person that he said, the cure for lesser fears is a big fear. And God is a person with fear. So we say, you want to burn me? You burn me for a second, I'm gone. But if he starts burning me, he burns me permanently. So I'd rather endure the 2 seconds burning. When they wanted to burn Polycarp, they wanted to tie him. Polycarp said, tie me for what? There's no need. He stood like that. And they lit the fire. He said, don't worry, I'm not running anywhere. Deny him. All these years I've served him. He has never done me any wrong. Why would I deny him now? He said, we'll burn you. They wanted to tie him. He said, no need. That I'm not running anywhere. They lit the fire. He stood there in the midst of the fire. And was burnt to death. The man did not move. Now, people feared God. That's what I'm going to explain. People fear God. So listen to me. Righteousness has outward manifestation. That's what I'm giving the example of Daniel. So grace is what makes people obey. Even when the pressure outside is too much. And that's why he says that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. That is, if you are walking, look, grace is what we need. Grace is why a believer, we walk into our country, the situation, you go into the midst of government. You are a politician. There is nothing. People say, when you are dead, they will corrupt you. Grace says you cannot be corrupted. That's what grace says. Grace says you cannot be corrupted. Grace says, listen, I will put you in the midst of hundreds of millions of dollars. You won't steal $1. And I will do it while you are hungry. When you have all the reasons to steal. That's grace. Grace is not, even if I steal, I gave my life to Christ 12 years ago. Once saved, always saved. Grace is that I have given my life to Christ. How can I still be stealing? My body wants to steal, I know. My mind wants to steal. But I just can't steal. I can't understand it. I know the strategy for stealing. I know how to do so I won't be caught. And not to even testify of the breakthrough that came from stealing. But I can't. Why can't you? I just can't. Just like Daniel, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could not bow. In the same manner, I just can't steal. Why? It's called grace. Let me not preempt him. We'll talk about grace later. That is what grace means. Grace does not mean, oh, if I commit sin, it's my body. My spirit is pure. My spirit is seated with Christ. My spirit is going to heaven. My spirit is perfect. It's been washed clean. That's not grace. That's not grace. Grace means that no matter how terrible the country is, no matter how terrible the pressure around is, I will pass through the midst of it and I will not be touched by it. That is what grace is. Now, can I add this one to it? That is what Jesus is demanding. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes, that's how he expects our lives to be. In this church in Sardis, let me just continue what I'm talking about this church in Sardis. This was the situation the Lord was trying to tell them. Now, I was talking about what? The promises of God. So, how do we wash our own garments? By making sure that we are untouched by the sins and iniquities of the world. That is how we wash our own garments. But when Jesus said, they will walk with me in white garments, what was he saying? He was saying that I will make them, you know, the other day we talked about the prophets of the inner circle. What do you mean to walk with him? These are people, when he was calling disciples then, he said he wanted them to be with him so that he can now do what? Send them out. That these are the people that walk with me. We discuss things. These are the people that he call watchers who can decree things. I'm going somewhere. This is my perception of this. It is the same thing he promised the other churches. When he talked about giving them a white stone, remember that white stone? The same thing. When he said, I will give them authority over the nations. Listen to me. The same thing. I noticed he was going to the same thing in all the churches using different, you know, illustrations, using different types. We're back to it. That what Jesus is looking for, again, is people that he can trust his authority with. You say, okay, he said, we'll talk about not erasing his name, which tells us a name can be erased. If names couldn't be erased, why will he say, I will not erase the name? What does that mean? Those who don't listen to him, those who all their deeds, he said, I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. He's going to easily erase all their names. He said, listen, he said, wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which are about to die. That is, if those other things die, he will wipe out their names. Sorry, does it not make sense? Is that not what he's saying? Because he said to the other people, if you do what I'm saying, I will not erase your name. What does that mean? At that point in time, he doesn't have a pen in his hand. What did he have? An eraser. I won't tell you I won't erase your name if I'm not in an erasing process. If I don't have an eraser, I will tell you, don't worry, I won't erase it. It's when you see me cleaning things. Say, don't clean that one. I say, don't worry. It's okay. I won't touch that area. When Jesus says, I will not erase names, it means that I'm erasing names. I've erased them before. I know how to erase them. I don't like to do it, but I will do it. If everything in them is dead, they have a reputation that they are alive. In actual fact, they are dead. There's just one little thing I'm waiting for. If that thing dies, I wipe out the name. I'm not the one that said it. Now, this is the other part of it I want to emphasize. He said, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Let's talk about that. Maybe we'll close with it. Have you ever wondered what that means? I will confess his name before my Father and his holy angels. I thought about it. If you have a different explanation, see me after and give it to me. This one I understand. There is one place we can use to understand this. Twice in the life of Jesus, the Father confessed his name. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. What's the next thing he said? Pay attention to him or listen to him. We can understand that to be the Father confessing the name of the Son before everybody. Of course, not everybody heard that. Only John heard it. This thing was being announced to who? Was it to human beings? Think about it. Was it human beings God was announcing to? No. He was announcing to angels. He was announcing to spirits. He was announcing to demons. They all heard it. This is my beloved Son. The disciples did not hear it. The other people being baptized did not hear it at that time. Disciples heard their own another time. It was during the transfiguration that disciples heard it. This time around, only John the Baptist heard it. He was a prophet. He could see into the realm of the spirit. The Father was declaring all angels hearken to him. And it's like that in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. When he brought the first son into the world, he said all angels should do what? Should serve him. That was what he was doing. He was declaring the lordship of Jesus. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, all you demons, pay attention. All you angels, pay attention. And that's why Jesus kept on saying things like, if I wanted to be delivered, don't you think I will ask my Father to give me 12 legions of angels? I mean, his name had been announced. That's why he will appear before evil spirits. Before he says something. They heard the announcement before that. They heard the announcement. They knew that this is God walking amongst men. They knew this was God. So that when he will show up, hey, what do have we got to do? You Holy One of God. How did they know? One day the Father announced, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. All the realms of the spirits, it reverberated, all of them heard it. That's why when he showed up next time, he would do like this. The wind will calm down. Why? The wind heard it. The wind heard it. Life heard it. Death heard it. Everybody in the realm of the spirit heard it. Humans didn't get it. Only John the Baptist entered into that realm. As God was announcing, he heard what everybody who had spiritual ears, what they were hearing. That was Jesus being announced before the Father, by the Father, before the holy angels, before demons, before even the physical things of the earth, they heard it. That was why he would speak to a tree. The tree heard it before. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. You know, there was one thing I told you, there's a testimony I had, a man who was an occultist before, a prince of Benin kingdom. He said that if you have been in the occult, you know when a power superior to you is speaking to you. When Jesus spoke to the tree, die. The tree heard him. So what are you talking about? I'll tell you. He now said, listen, if these people wear their white garment, if they do what I say, they make sure the things that are alive are kept alive. The ones that are dead, they revive them and they become hot. We can put many things together. They overcome. They face temptation. They don't fall in the midst of temptation. Then I will announce their names before my Father and before his holy angels. Which means next time they speak, listen to me, he will have personally introduced them to God the Father. By the time, back to where I began from, when Jesus was saying the Father himself loves you. So I'm telling you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he was not talking to everybody. He was talking with these people, to these people who have stood with him all these years. So he said, I am not saying that I will ask the Father for you. The Father himself loves you. What was it in them? I have introduced you to the Father. From now on, open your mouth, talk. It's as if I'm the one talking. Are you getting what I'm going to explain here? So he said, listen, no, that's where I began from. Christians must understand that when Paul talked about the high calling, that's the high calling we are talking about. That is, Jesus will now come and say, hey, he picks, he says, come, he comes to the Father, says, Steve, come. Steve follows him. I want to take you somewhere. And they go to the presence of the Father and everybody bows. And now says, this is Steve. He's like me. He's my friend. Anytime he talks, Father, honor his words. He comes up before the angels. Say, when he talks, I have spoken. And the Bible said, let the angels of God serve him. After that, Steve opens his mouth, angels will answer. Angels don't just answer because he said he gave his life to Christ. Angels answer because Jesus took him there and said, all of you, pay attention to this guy. Now you understand why not every Christian is on the same level. Are you getting my point here? Now you understand what should be the drive of the heart of every Christian. Oh, you understand that the challenges of life. I said, anytime you go into trouble, God wants to qualify you for a new level of authority. God wants to qualify you for a new level of authority. You know, listen, let me tell you something. Anytime you see the Bible now, you read something. When it says that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Please, like I said, I'm not trying to take faith away. Last year, you asked the Father in his name. You didn't get that. 2 years ago, you asked the Father in his name. You didn't get it. It doesn't mean Jesus lied. It doesn't mean he lied. He's just saying to you, he's not walking the way you think he should walk. Then walk with me some more until I introduce you to the Father. And that scripture become exactly yours. You don't say, no, this scripture is not true. You say, when I said it to Paul, to Peter. When I said it to John. I wasn't saying to little children that will come and be asking the Father for sweet and guguru and ekpa. I didn't even say it to Peter, James, and John early because I know what they will have asked for. It's where they will sit in my kingdom. Say, Father, your son does not want to give us. We'll ask you directly. See, I said those things to people who had worked with me. That was me. At that point in time, he had gone to the place of prayer. And he had mentioned Peter. And he had mentioned James. He had mentioned John. He had mentioned Andrew. He had mentioned Philip. He had mentioned all of these people and introduced them to the Father. And he said to the angels of God, when they speak, they are speaking for me. And those men knew how to pray. When they were flogged, they didn't say, as a servant of God ordained by God, I declare that that hand with which you flogged me shall never rise again. Now, if Peter had said that, it would have happened like he said. It would have happened just like that. But why didn't Peter say it? I'll tell you. Because he had walked with Jesus and he knew it was not a necessary statement. And Jesus knew he would know. That's why he could give him that kind of authority. You're getting the point I'm making here. Listen, look, anytime you see, that's why Paul said, there is something for which I was apprehended. It's called the high calling. I've told you before, the calling does not mean apostles, pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers. No, that's not what a calling means. Calling doesn't mean I'm a song minister. I'm a businessman for God. I'm an apostle of the marketplace. That's not a calling. That's a ministry. All Christians have the same calling. All of us. It's called the high calling. It's sainthood. And it's just one thing. To become exactly like the Lord Jesus. To become somebody that Jesus will take to the Father and say, this one, yes, he's not exactly. He said, Father, remember at the beginning, what was our purpose? Let us make man in our own image after our likeness. He wasn't talking about physical flesh. No. That's why I said when he talked about he's the exact representation of the nature. It's in nature. You are getting my point? So the Lord says to him, this one is now made. This one is made. Henceforth, when he opens his mouth, when she opens her mouth, it's as if I'm the one speaking. And the Father notes it down. And he says, done. You read something in the Word of God, doesn't look like your life is experiencing it. Don't worry about it. That is, don't feel like it. Not that if it's not true. That's why Paul said, I'm racing towards that point. If I've achieved anything, I don't let it hold me back. Whatever I've achieved is at a good level, but it's another level to go to beyond the one I've already achieved. For that reason, I forget the things that are behind. I keep on reaching forward to something that is in front. And that's what I'm explaining to Christians. Listen, you have trouble in life. He that endures, there's endurance, not he that escapes. See everything, every opportunity, every challenge in life. That's what it is. So, it's breathing Christ likeness in us. It's bringing us to the place where the Lord can take us to the Father and say, hold authority for me on the earth. You know the truth there? Many, oh God, let me put it like this. You know, many of these people are praying about morning, afternoon, and night. Praying, asking God. There are people that utter it once. In prayer, not even in prayer, it's just a wish, not just saying, like, this will be good like this. And angels will move and create exactly what they have said. Yeah. I've established now that it's not just because they are Christians. It's because, let's use today's expression, they've been introduced to the Father. Their names have been announced before the angels. Now, so instead of spending energy praying about things, why don't you spend energy reaching the place where Christ wants you to get to. Please, get our series that we'll be teaching on Tuesdays. The most important prayer. What God is doing, listen, it's not people who are looking for, if I've been saved, am I still saved? It's people who say, I was saved yesterday, it's not enough. I don't know whether I get my point. That yesterday's level of salvation is too small. It's not my mate, a slave that did not respond. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, I'm still getting angry when somebody insults me in traffic. That's ordinary traffic. They have not slapped you. They have not yet slapped you. So you're like, okay, Lord, I've been saved from getting angry in traffic because somebody cuts me off. He said, Lord, what about people who are slapped and they turn the other cheek? So he said, when people are arguing, if I was saved, am I still saved? Your own argument is that, Lord, let's forget that thing. I'm not yet saved. I don't know whether you get the point. That is, I'm not satisfied with what I am right now. You're talking about what I was yesterday. The arguments that I only get involved in because you have to teach people. Otherwise, if it was my personal work with God, I won't answer you. You were saved before. Are you still saved? I said, look, I don't know. I'm running towards a goal. Paul said, I have not, that's Paul, not me. By the time I was writing to the Philippians, in case you don't know, he had done ministry. He was tired of talking to the Jews. He had moved to the Gentile level. When he was writing to the Philippians, this man has seen all kinds of things. And you know what he said? I have not yet attained. So me now will now be telling you whether I was saved, I'm still saved. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am not yet saved. No, honestly, you are getting my point here. I won't be arguing with you whether once saved, always saved. Once saved, better save some more. There's always a new level to reach. There's always a new level to reach. Let me tell you something. As a matter of, you know, one day I talk about it, maybe they're heavenly watchers, okay? But I have a conclusion. I have a serious suspicion. When the Bible says that by the decree of the watchers, Nebuchadnezzar was cut down. I know they are heavenly watchers or angelic watchers. But this is my conclusion. There are earthly watchers. There are people that look and Nebuchadnezzar will talk and they'll just laugh. And they say, Lord, remove that man for 2 years. His head is no longer correct. And the Lord will say, as you have spoken, it is done. That's what I call, you know, earthly watchers. Not everybody, believe me, is at that level. And but this is a cry of God's heart, is looking for people to put at that level in different spheres of life. And usually you hit that level in the area where you have suffered. Where you own the filling station and stealing was rife. Everybody had adjusted their pumps. When they deliver, when somebody pays for 20 liters, he gets anything between 16 and 17. And he's happy enough to even get the fuel. You know, there was a time I was like that in Enugu. How many of you remember those days? Before NNPC mega station began to teach people some righteousness. There were people those days that refused to do that. Now, I'm not pointing at anybody. But God is saying, listen, I allow such things to thrive. It will thrive for a year, for two, for three, for 4 years. And I will allow my children to open their own stations in the midst of all the crookedness. I won't go to their neighbor's pump to check the accuracy. I'm coming to only his pump. I'm only coming to the pump of the one that's my child. I will send the angel in the morning with an Okada, a keke. Ha, you are selling for, you don't know the spirit is buying from you. Hey. Look. Most spirits on this earth are not demons, they are not witches, they are not wizards. Most spirits that float around are angels. Some of them, temptation to your soul. The man will come and give you money, collect angels' money, cheat him on fuel. Why is your life going to balance? The guy will come in the morning, buy his fuel as he goes. Because angels don't walk by word of knowledge. You know, God has to tell them something or they observe it. That's why when God came down, he came to Sodom to see exactly how the report really is. That's how it is. So he came with the angels. They have to come and look. So the angel will come there, buy fuel. When he leaves the filling station, he gauges, he says, Omo, this guy is a thief. And he sends an SMS to heaven. The boy's head is not yet correct. Can you imagine that? No, what I've told you may sound like a joke, but you know it happens. There are people that angel came, they're arguing in heaven. Our boy is very stingy, he says a lie. It's the demons that start the argument, though. Satan. Say, Lord, that boy doesn't have faith for prosperity. So he's very stingy, he eats all his food alone. So an angel will knock one day. Good morning, sir, I'm hungry. I hear you eat all your food alone. And many people, angels have come to confirm their righteousness. So an angel will come to that filling station in the midst of all of that. Self-will, every day the angel will gauge it, it's complete. Every day he will come, it's complete. Heaven literally does these things, I'm telling you. Don't look, don't think heaven is there are smoke people there. Listen to someone like Sadhu Savaraj. When I started listening to Savaraj in recent times, it helped me with some things. Savaraj will tell you that he got to heaven, that he was caught up to a council in heaven. And Father Abraham was chairman for the day. And they were discussing the issue of the United States of America. And when he appeared, they stopped and turned to look at him. And I said, okay, you come. Come closer. They will open a book. And he see where some things are written. And one of those days he got there. He said he saw the spirit of Donald Trump arrive. And they told him, this is the next president of the United States. 8 years before that, the same thing happened. And he protested. He said it's been determined that Barack Obama will be the next president and the church should get ready that he will be seriously persecuted. Exactly what happened to them. He would tell the Father Abraham will open a book and tell him, look. He said once the Lord Jesus called him closer and he opened a book. No, he said, and he took a file, showed to Abraham. I said, this is the plan I have for my daughter's ministry. He said, what do you think? And Abraham said, Lord, it's a very good plan. He said, he started laughing. He said, what will you say before? He said, in his mind, he said, Abraham, Jesus asked whether the plan is good. You want to say it bad? He said, he talked to himself like, hey, the Lord showed you a plan. What do you think? What were you going to think? Now, but these are real things. These are real people. I don't know whether it was him or the other man. What is the other fellow's name? No. The Australian old man. Neville Johnson. Either him or Neville Johnson. Said they went to one South American country one day. They wanted to go for a meeting. And they saw somebody hurrying down. So he stopped to talk to the person. And the prophet Joel appeared and gave him instructions from heaven and left. And he'll continue his meeting. So if you think in heavenly places, there are spirits. Oh, we have come to deliver you from your great-grandmother's spirit. All the spirits in the village that they build inside the wall, they will come out. Just bring your offering. Let's carry it to the place. No. It's not like that. No, it's not like that. I like one thing Neville Johnson said. He said, when you see spiritual realm, he said it's full of colors. If you think you've seen colors on the earth, he said the place is full of colors. These are real things. These angels come down to the earth. I've told you before, Adam was not in the garden, walking around, mistakenly, frying bread, and baking what? No, that's not what happened. They told him, if you want gold, this is a vein of gold. You dig like this. You put in the fire. You refine it. You pour it like this. This is what is. Angels taught him how to dig gold out of the earth. You think men were forming? I said there was a time human beings were hunter-gatherers. Fat lie. Human beings have never been hunter-gatherers. We came out of the bowels of God, human beings. And angels taught us how to do things. That's what happened. Anyway, that just is stripping to spiritual things, right? Back to what I was trying to say. The angels come, they test people. That's why the Bible says many have entertained angels unawares. Many of you have told me here your angel stories. I can start telling you angel stories. If they are preached like this, at least people came after at one and said, sir, let me tell you my angel story. You look back in life sometimes, just say, that girl I met that day, was that an angel? You just suddenly replace some things in your mind. You just replay. These things happen. So get it clear. Let me just say it again. The Lord Jesus literally watches. You carry your phone. He's looking. Listen, you open your phone like this. As you're typing the text, he's looking at you saying, what are you trying to type there? No, I will insult this man. His head will be correct. And Jesus is looking at you like, you will insult your elder so that his head can be correct. When you do become head corrector of elders, you will know, you'll be hearing him in your thoughts. Say, look, stop writing this thing. No, Because one spirit will say, write it. You buy a film, the Lord Jesus is watching, say, what kind of film do you want to go and watch? It's not the same film they told you. And he's what you put a film, he's sitting down there. Angels can excuse himself. Jesus doesn't excuse himself. Everything you are watching, he's looking at it, no matter how bad. The Lord is good. I'm being dramatic, but let me finish my message. Those angels come, literally, they check your pump. They check. They put records. At a point in time, you start losing money. Oh, get this point. A time comes, you start losing money. You start losing money. Why? People tell you, no, do like this. After a while, you shut down the station. They say, why? Say, I'm not making any money. This is not how people do it. Oh. All those who are open, you know how they do it. What do you do? I'm selling at 145, and that's the proper price. How many do you dispense? You say, when they say 20, I give them 20. You say, no, now. You say, check out, is it sustainable? Anytime you hear it, it is what? Satan. What did I call it?
Satan.
About to collect your crown, collect your white garment, about to collect your power and authority. It is Satan. It is Satan about to collect your white stone. You must never give in to him. Sometimes, listen to me, there are people that God will shut down their businesses because they did. Now, the Lord will allow you to shut down because they refuse to cheat people. Listen to me. Don't feel bad. What did I say? Tell your neighbor, don't feel bad.
Don't feel bad.
What you need to do, by the time it's closing down, get your books. Take time out and go and review. That's what we read in Psalm 119. Review your life. Lord, have I conformed myself with the commandments? If I did, and yet the business shut down, what am I supposed to learn? I learn what I'm supposed to learn. If I am sure that I did not break the law of God and it still shut down, then I start rejoicing. Why? Because that's a major test that has been passed. People think that obeying God always brings out this, then the Lord just came through. Many times the Lord does not come through. They will raise the head, they will raise the sword like this. Say, Lord, it's your servant. They're about to cut his head. Boom! The sword will come down. The head is gone. John the Baptist is dead. That's it. You think it's every time the Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego people? You think it's every Isaac that doesn't die? That's life for you. You think it's every time you want to kill Isaac, an angel will show up and say, take a ram, take a ram. Don't kill that Isaac. Many times, an angel will say, if you can't kill him, let's help you. I'm telling you the truth. If the angel see you are hesitating, they will quickly bring your hand down. Bam! Isaac's head is gone. In case you don't know, most Isaacs die. Most Isaacs die. The one you saw in the Bible is not the normal Isaac, if you know what I'm going to say. It's not the everyday Isaac. But in all of them, the spirit of Isaac never dies. The body may die. The resurrection of Isaac always happens. I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, what God is doing is going around every day looking for people that he will give his white garment to, who will wear the white garment, walk with him, go to the presence of the Father, get introduced, come out from there, be declared to the angels. And then he goes out and manifests in the world for the Lord Jesus. Every temptation, every trial in life is orchestrated by God to push us up to that level. That's the point I'm making. Let's bow down our heads. I'll just give you a minute. Just thank God for the temptations of your life. Just thank God for the temptations of your life. Just thank God for the temptations of your life. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, that's what you need. Thank you for the temptation of my life. Thank you for the exams I have taken and I have passed. Forgive me for the ones I have failed. Give me understanding I shall live. Give me understand that I may obey your word. Give me understand that I may do that which is pleasing to you. It's a simple prayer. What's important is that now we know what it's all about. God takes everybody through different ones amongst us to different paths that may achieve the same goal. The goal of the high calling. Paul said, not that I already attained, but I press on towards the mark. I forget the things that are behind. I forget the distractions of life. That's what they are, distractions of life. Me too, I must build a house, distractions of life. Me too, I must drive a fine car, distractions of life. Me too, I must marry. Distractions of life. Forget all of those things. Say, Lord, I forget the things that are behind. Lord, I forget all the distractions. I press towards the mark. It's important. Say to the Lord today, Lord, I press towards the mark. I'm pressing towards the mark. I'm not happy and satisfied with the righteousness that's in the heart alone. No, I want to wear the white garment of holiness. I want to wear the white garment of righteousness. Say, Lord, I want to wear the white garment of holiness. I want to wear the white garment of righteousness. Say, Lord, I lay everything down before you again today. I commit my life once again to a serious walk with you. Say, Christ is formed in me. Yeah, that's a very good prayer. Say, Lord, I commit myself to a serious walk with you. Say, Christ is formed in me. Say, Lord, I commit myself to a serious walk with you. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call that you have in my life. Thank you, Lord, for leading me. The Lord is good. Let's rise up. Let's share the grace. We have already stepped. Please, can you bless somebody? Grab somebody beside you. One person. Tell the person, you have been saved. You are still being saved. And you will never fall back. In the name of Jesus Christ. Tell the person, it is well with you. The Lord will not let you go. You will press on towards that mark. You will be fervent in spirit. You will fear the Lord. You will walk with him in white garment. You will receive your own white stone. You will receive your own authority. You will receive your own introduction to the Father and declaration before the holy angels. So that's my prayer for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now tell the person, I receive it also. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that as we depart from here, we don't depart from your presence. But we declare, Lord, that we will abide in the house of the Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I say to all of you listening to me this evening, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
Wherever you are, the angels of God, they are on guard around you.
Amen.
As it is written, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. I declare to you that you are delivered in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are going out in your community, you are delivered in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Now, somebody's opportunity. Now, let me just say this again. I just feel like emphasizing it. Hagar was looking for water. An angel showed him, look at the water behind you. If you are here, you are looking for a job. Today, don't pray again. Just go and lie down and start looking around you. There is a job that is around you. Yeah, there is a job that is around you. Is this, maybe somebody's employing? Maybe it's a gift, a skill you have that you can deploy. But there is a job that is around you. There is a job that is around you. Somebody say, come to America, things are smoother there. Mark my words, if you go back, you will run back poorer and broker than you are today in 18 months' time. The only difference now in your life now is a story of this guy went to America, he's back. Listen to me, let me just give you a tip about life. When you want to travel, travel because you want to travel. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. Travel because you want to travel, not because you are poor and you are broke. It's very important what I have said, though. If you want to go abroad and you don't have $500 to blow, that $1,000, don't go. It's too early. Don't go there and be looking at people like, you born in America, now I came from Nigeria. Who told you to come? And I guess you don't know, those you are meeting there, every dollar counts more than Naira to you. I hope you are getting my point. I just feel like putting that overcomer spirit into somebody. All right? God has set you free in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And please, December is coming. Any man you not marry in Nigeria, if he comes back from America, you marry him, two of you are in trouble. Your name is Jonah. You've wrecked his boat. I don't need to tell you he's Jonah already. He has wrecked your boat. You see, people are praying and serving the Lord. They go and marry a man whose only passport, the only qualification is that he came from America. You fool. Does he pray like you? You don't know. Does he believe God like you? You have no idea. Your shows up, hey man, what's up? The baby guy, he wants to marry me. Inferiority complex is bad. Yeah, you don't think highly of yourself, that is why. The Bible didn't say you should think lowly. He said, don't think more highly than you ought to think. I'm telling you the ought in your life now. You ought to think as a child of God, amen? You ought to think that promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south, but it comes from God. And God has lifted you up. You ought to think like that. Yes, you ought to think that in all that you do, you will prosper. Amen. Let me say to you, you young women, any man you can't marry in Nigeria, don't marry. If you like, let him come from the moon. Tell him, wear your just wear your space suit and go back to where you're coming from. Okay, Nanu? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. It's well with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will grant somebody a special breakthrough this week.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A job you used to do and you get paid 1,000 and you'll be very happy. This week you'll get paid 20,000 for that same job.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are people that God will just do that for, just to show that he's God and that you don't need to run up on that. Next week you'll be back to the normal level. No, that's not a curse. I'm just trying to explain something to you. No, there are miracles, apostle, that God will just do, just to tell you to relax.
Yes, sir.
He will do it to let you know that he's not asleep and he's not dead. After that, just to encourage you, after that, you now go back. And after that, your mind go calm down. When people are rushing, you no go rush again. You now be ready to grow at the proper pace. Because some people think that God has forgotten them. But God will just do a miracle just to let you know that I did here. I didn't forget you. You know what he did to Peter? He gave him a draught of fish, plenty of fish. Then came to Peter and said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. The fish, Peter not even get time to chop them. Are you seeing my point? So sometimes it works a miracle for people just to make a point to them. But what it did for you as a miracle, one day to become a regular life.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Somebody will dash you 50,000 one day. You'll be thanking God, praying, like, I have a testimony. Yes, I was about to die. Then 50,000 now came. God said, I just want to let you know that you won't die. The following day, you'll be broke again. But one day, I know what I'm telling you. No, wait now. Why are you laughing? Let me finish my message. But one day will come. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That you will be the one to regularly do miracle in the lives of people.
Amen.
This thing I've said, it will happen to at least 3 people here.
Amen.
Now, what I needed to say that is that, you see, yes, I think that's why the Lord had me say that. Otherwise, some people will be discouraged. Something special happens. They will expect it again the following day. It doesn't happen. Ah, Pastor, what happened? He said, I checked. We see that commit. I should not have stepped on that ant when I was crossing the road. God doesn't punish people like that. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say that it does not punish us according to the level of our iniquities. So it's not every little thing you get into trouble for. God just corrects people, and then if you know they hear, that's when punishment comes. But what I'm going to say for some people, not everybody, for some people here, all right? Just for some, God will do a miracle to let you know he's alive and he's working in your life. After that, things will go back to what used to be normal, but then your mind, this is the aim. So now you will calm down. Learn your lessons. Grow gradually. Follow the Lord. And then what is a miracle today? In a year, two, it will become your normal life and a miracle that you are now doing for other people.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Now let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now bless somebody beside you. This is your season.
This is your season of multiplication and dominion.
Bless another person. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Now one for yourself. This is my season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus.